Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the 1865 match report as we reflect on Forest's 1-1 draw with Luton at Kenilworth Road. Forest were pegged back late in the game by a goal from Luke Berry and another goal from a set piece, having led since the first half goal given to them by Chris Wood. So the result leaves Forest 3 points outside the relegation zone, 3 points ahead of Luton on 25 points. But with this impending PSR announcement coming on Monday, that points gap could soon be wiped out. It certainly could have been better. Forest could be sat now with a 6-point cushion to the relegation spots, but alas, they're not. It's 3 points, and we wait to see what happens later this week. It's Stephen here and I've got Tom with me. Tom, we're going to start with the team news because when this team was announced, I was a lot more confident than I was for the Brighton game last week. It looked like Nuno identified what this game was going to be and brought in the right kind of players for the job. So we had a 4-2-3-1 with Matt Sells in goal, a back four of Nico Williams, Willie Bolly recalled to the starting 11, Murillo and Harry Toffolo. Ryan Yates and Sangare in the base of the midfield with Anthony Elanga, Morgan Gibbs-White and Divock Origi ahead of them, and up front, Chris Wood, lone striker. I think given that we knew Luton's strength in the air and their tenacity as well, bringing in the likes of Bolly and Yates and Sangare, I think made sense. What do you think?
Yeah, it just gave us a bit of physicality in there because it's a well-known fact that we're, which we'll obviously come on to a bit later on, but yeah, we're not great at defending set pieces, are we? So yeah, it was nice to see Bolly back and obviously Sangare, because he's had a lot of criticism in terms of the price tag and everything, but he hasn't got his Forest career going, has he? I mean, he's had injuries, then he played really well against Newcastle, got a booking, suspended for the Man U game, and then he went to AFCON, got injured and come on last week and then started the game yesterday. So but yeah, it seemed to be a lot physical in the defensively, so and that matched up with Luton because we know how they are, especially at Kenilworth Road, with set pieces and obviously crosses into the box.
Yeah, and the subs quickly, we had Matt Turner sub keeper, Chet Cuyate, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Nicolas Dominguez, Felipe Giovanni Reina, Danilo, Andrew Omobamadeli, and Rodrigo Ribeiro. But we found out just before the game that Taiwo Wonyi has picked up another injury and he's going to be out for a couple more weeks. Another blow, considering that it depletes Forest's attacking options. Although I'm going to say this, Tom, I don't think he's looked himself since he's come back into the team from the previous injury he had.
No, he hasn't looked match fit. I think it was kind of like we didn't have many options with Wood out, etc. We tried to get him back a lot sooner, and obviously it's looked like it's backfired because he hasn't, apart from that goal which he took really well against West Ham, he hasn't really seemed himself. But I was saying this yesterday that you got some players who can play with a knock and probably still put in a decent performance. So, with being only, 80-85% match fit, Taiwo has to be 100%. If he's 99%, he's no good. And I just think I like Tyro. When we've got a fit Tyro, he's good. But those spells from a to and far between, in my eyes, he's constantly injured. I mean, we did pay, I think it was a club record at the time, wasn't it? Before Morgan Gibbs-White, then obviously Sangari coming.
Yeah.
We signed him from Union Berlin for, what, 17 million. But we just can't keep the bloke on the field, can we? And when was it against Liverpool when he defended a one of our set pieces? Well, one of the set pieces of what Liverpool had. He looks like he's held together by gaffer tape. And I just think he's, yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it, how his build is or whatever. Just can't get him fit. And I think if we had a fit Tyro for a season, I think we'd be a lot higher position than we are. But if we get onto this, because obviously with the pending points deduction, if we stay in the Premier League, we've got to get a striker who's basically fit for the majority of the season, because it nearly hampered us last year. He was out for, what, a good 3 months from when he got injured against Southampton. Then he come back around about the Easter, didn't he? And then he had that purple patch.
Yeah.
Where he scored something like 6-6 or something like that. And that obviously kept us up. But yeah, this season, he started the season really well. And he's got injured and come back, got injured. Yeah, you just can't rely on the bloke, unfortunately.
When the game started, Forest looked okay for the first couple of minutes. They had more of the ball and playing a bit more in Luton's half. But it was the home side who started to carve out most of the chances, and they were falling to Ross Barkley. He was really getting involved and finding a lot of space in the middle of the park, driving forward and creating opportunities and having a few shots at goal himself. The first one he had was it came out of Luton having the ball down the right-hand side. Alanga went to clear it. It wasn't a very good clearance, similar to the one that he did against Liverpool the other week. Ball comes across for Barkley, hits it first time left-footed. Matt Sells makes a comfortable-ish save low down to his left. He then had to make another save from another Barkley shot, and then we had another Barkley effort where he's driven through, he's hit it left-footed, and it clips the post and goes wide. But at this point, you're thinking, somebody's got to get on Barkley, because he threatened to run the show at that point.
Yeah, there was a couple of occasions yesterday where Gibbs-White's like barking orders to Sangari, and Sangari looks like perplexed, like thinking, well, is it me? And just we've just got a massive problem at the moment, and this is not just the midfield, this is the whole team. Nobody takes responsibility. Everybody's looking around thinking, well, it's not mine. And somebody needs to, like, be a man about it and actually say, I'm going to take responsibility here. I mean, for Luton, Ross Barkley was their best player at R40. He's class. And obviously his career's probably took a different path for what he wanted it to be, because obviously he went to Chelsea. That didn't work out. Then he was in France and he's come back. And I think he'll get a bigger move. If Luton do go down or stay up, I think he will go for a team which is higher in the Premier League, because he's still got that quality. And they do say that class is permanent and form is temporary. And yeah, I think, well, with the goal what he scored against Bournemouth in midweek, it was a brilliant finish. And yeah, Barkley he just needs that guidance, doesn't he? But yeah, he was their best player yesterday, and it just took a bit longer than needed to be in terms of somebody putting a player on, well, one of the Forest players actually sticking on them and stopping from dictating the play.
Forest got through that period of pressure without conceding and had an opportunity about 20 minutes in. It was a free kick from the right-hand side, swung in by Morgan Gibbs-White. Willy Bolly gets up highest and his header goes just wide of the post. I look at that though and I think that one should have at least been on target, because it was a good opportunity.
Yeah, well, we was quite low down in the road stand at the other end of the ground, so it's hard to make out how close the ball was from Bolly for the header. But yeah, when you see that back on the highlights kind of thing, you're thinking, yeah, it was a missed opportunity, and a player of his size, it should be at least hitting the target. But it was just like, again, we're going to get on it a bit later on, but just can't take chances. When you got to be clinical at this level if you want to win football matches.
And speaking of that, Forrest's next opportunity was a big one. It was Morgan Gibbs-White who won the ball in the middle of the park. He played it forward. It drops to Alanga. Alanga plays it square for Divock Origi, right-hand side of the penalty area. Takes it on, shoots, beats Kaminski. It looks like it's going to the far bottom corner of the net, but Reece Burke comes back on the line, clears it brilliantly, to be fair to him. It's a great piece of last-ditch defending. But the chance has gone, and Forrest are left rueing another missed opportunity. And if that goes in, yeah, it would have just been the perfect response to the first 20, 25 minutes of that game.
Yeah, if it did go in, necessarily Wood might have not scored his chance because of how the game might have dictated after that. But yeah, again, Origi has done everything right by beating the keeper, and he's got it on target, and it's the desire of Reece Burke what's cleared it off the line. But I don't want to be cynical here, but if that was roles reversing, Luton had that chance, would we have had the same desire to get back? Possibly not, kind of thing. So they're playing very much how we was last season in terms of like having that fight and desire and everybody's in, kind of thing. And they haven't got the quality, like I've said, but they have got the desire there, and they actually are playing for a manager who believes in them.
Wasn't long after that, though, that Forrest did take the lead. And it was a nicely worked move, this, involving Gibbs-White and Williams down the right-hand side. Bit of a 1-2. Williams fed the ball to Gibbs-White, and he plays a ball, first time no-look cross, actually, which I didn't realise until I was watching the highlights back. He doesn't look up. He knows where Chris Wood's going to be, puts the ball into the area. It's a lovely pass. And Chris Wood, with an outstretched leg, steers it past Kaminski into the roof of the net. And Forrest lead, nicely worked goal. And I'm pleased that Chris Wood is back on the score sheet. He's got himself into a good position there. Gibbs-White's found him. And it's a good move all round.
Yeah, it's a typical Chris Wood goal, isn't it? It's like the play to his strengths. If you give the service to Chris Wood, 9 times out of 10, he's going to finish the chance off. I mean, a couple of months ago when we played Brentford, that ball from Hudson-Odoi, he's found Chris Wood, it's gone in. And same again yesterday, he's in the middle of the goal. And I mean, last week against Brighton, you play Chris Wood, but then you don't play with any wingers. And it's like, well, if you're playing with Chris Wood, at least play to his strengths. But I mean, I know Gibbs-White isn't a winger, he's more of an attacking central midfielder, but that was a brilliant ball in, no look, and he just knows when Chris Wood's there. But the most frustrating factor is that they can produce a goal like that, why can't they do it more? You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's a harder goal than probably the Origi or the Alanga one in the second half, where like it takes a lot of trust from Gibbs-White, like putting the ball in, not looking, knowing Chris Wood's going to be there. And you just think, you can do it. But the reason is that we've got these players who, obviously, they're here because they can't do it on a consistent basis. If they could do it on a consistent basis, they're probably playing for a team higher up in the Premier League. But, yeah, it's frustrating where you score that first goal and you think, go and build on it, and we don't. And as we'll mention, it will come back to bite us.
And after the goal, Forrest did retreat a bit and started to get deeper and deeper as we got into the latter stages of the first half. And it needed Nico Williams to get a fantastic clearance in on a cross from Burke from the right-hand side. Low, drilled across the penalty area. Sells wasn't going to get to it. There was a Luton player behind him. To be fair, that ball could have gone anywhere. It could have gone into the goal. It could have gone into the road behind the stand. As it was, it went to safety. But from the resulting corner, Luton did get the ball in the back of the net. This one was in front of you, Tom. It was ruled out for handball. Looks like the right decision, doesn't it?
It's the right decision, but it's crap defending. The ball comes in, everybody just parts like that. And then, is it Mpanzu who scores?
Mengi, you
guess. Mengi, yeah. He's handballed it and obviously struck him. But it's crap defending again. And I mean, we've got like a let off there. I mean, if it didn't hit his arm, obviously it's a goal, and you think you got to defend better than that. But as we were saying before we started recording, and I like Gibbs-White. I think he's a very, very talented, very technically gifted player. but his free kicks and set pieces are awful. So bear with me on this one. But in training, if he's taking the set pieces and they're not very good and they can't get past the first man, we're praising like the whoever's the coaching staff are praising like Aboli or Felipe or Murillo for clearing it on near post. I'm like thinking, well, if the quality's not there on a training pitch, that's why we can't defend set pieces, because we haven't got anybody in the club who's got the quality of like a Alfie Doughty or James Ward-Prowse or players there with real quality. So if it's lackluster, mediocre set pieces in training, we haven't got that quality to defend. So no wonder we're all over the place. Again, I mean, the goal was disallowed, but it's crap defending again. Then we had a free kick. I think it was late in the first half. I think it was, what, 20, 25 yards out? Gives White's over it. And if you put a goal on top of the goal, you still would have missed. It was bloody awful. And then we had, against Bristol, we're in the cup. Last minute, Danilo, he puts it, like, on Rose head. It's like, I can't remember the last time a Forest player got near to a free kick. I think it might have been James Garner against Stoke in that 2-2 game when Samba got sent off, where he's cracked the bar and Yates has scored the header from the rebound.
Yeah.
I don't think we got close last season, did we?
No. So, I've seen somebody make a comment, I think it was on one of the Forest forums, saying if Morgan Gibbs-White had Lewis McGugan's shooting and technical ability, he'd be an elite player. And you can kind of see it. If he had that sort of prowess from free kicks and set pieces.
Yeah. And then if you reverse that and Lewis McGugan had the desire and probably the technical ability of Gibbs-White passing, etc., he'd be an elite player. So it swings and roundabouts. But the set piece, I mean, by all accounts, the set piece specialist, who wasn't really a set piece specialist, it was a coach from the FAO, Steve Cooper, knows he's on gardening leave. So, that's not from me. That I've seen that somewhere. I don't know if it was in the Athletic or something like that. So, yeah, it's just this season's just been, it hasn't been very enjoyable, has it?
No, it has been a bit of a struggle at times, to say the least. And Forest, I think, also have been guilty of making it a lot more harder for themselves than it could have been. But it was 0-0 at half time. Forest got into the break goalless, and no changes for Forest at half time. They came out in that second half and very nearly scored right away. 20, 30 seconds into the second half, Origi plays a lovely outside of the foot pass to Gibbs-White. Gibbs-White's in. He's got a defender with him. The keeper, Kaminsky's coming out. Gibbs-White tries to lift it and knock the ball past the keeper. And Kaminsky blocks it, but also takes out Gibbs-White at the same time. And he looked for a little bit like he was struggling with a shoulder complaint after that. He was hobbling around and holding his shoulder, but he carried on. But again, I think this is an example. When you play Luton, you're going to get chances against them.
Yeah, in the previous games with Luton, what I've seen on telly is that they do try and play out from the back. And I think they were a bit more assured yesterday because of the pace of Alanga, etc. They looked a bit more assured passing it around their back four. But yeah, we did get that chance. And I think with Gibbs-White, I think he just like he saw him coming, and I think he's probably going to come off second best. And then later in the game, Gibbs-White goes off because he fell on his shoulder, didn't he? I think it was midway through the second half, and I think that affected him. So hence why he came off. I mean, at the time, everybody was like saying, oh, why are they taking Gibbs-White off? Because of we've like creativity now after they scored the equaliser. But yeah, you're always going to get chances against Luton, but we need to put we should have put them away, and we should have been home and host, really. But obviously we didn't, and they come to score the equaliser.
Another opportunity 5-6 minutes later was started by Divock Origi. Played a nice crossfield pass, left footer to Anthony Alanga on the opposite flank. He then plays a 1-2 with Chris Wood and gets to the return ball, has a go at goal, But Mengi is coming back and chases it, clears the ball off the line, and another opportunity has gone begging. Again, credit to Luton, because clearly they've got that desire and that ability to get back and make these sort of defensive saves, if you like. But yeah, looking back at the chance, it looks like Alanga, he puts the right direction on the ball, and Kaminski actually takes a bit of pace off it because he gets something on it, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if Alanga's fully fit at the moment. He just seems to be plays it very safe in terms of gets the ball, and he had an opportunity yesterday where he could have got to the byline and like pulled it back, and he didn't. He played it back to Williams, who Williams had to like recreate himself and then put the ball in. And I'm like thinking with Alanga, he's just missing that. I don't know if he's carrying something, but I know he's got a hand injury at the moment. I mean, that's not going to affect him, but the bandage on his hand does look like a boxing glove. It's massive. And so, but like I said, it's not going to affect him. But yeah, he just seems to be playing very safe at the moment. It just seems that he just doesn't believe that he's got that explosion of pace to get past the fullback. Like a couple of times yesterday, you're thinking, run the fullback. And a couple of times he checked back and then played it safe. So whether he's carrying something, and after managing him like they've managing Wood in or Wani at the moment, who knows? But yeah, it was a decent save by Kaminski, wasn't it? I mean, he probably could have put a bit more pace on it, and it probably would have gone in. But yeah, I mean, that desire from Mengi to clear it off the line, and that's what they've got at the moment. That's what's keeping them in around the teams above, because yeah, that desire that may be enough to keep them safe.
Let's now talk about the opportunity that Forest have a few minutes later. Completely unexpected, and had it gone in, it would have been one of the goals of all time. Forest had a free kick in their own half. Murillo stands over it, looks like he's going to clear it upfield, and he goes for goal and very nearly pulls off an incredible effort. This effort is flying towards the top corner, and Kaminski has to backpedal and tip it over the bar. Murillo must be the only person in the stadium who saw Kaminski off his line there and thought, I'm going to have this. And very nearly, it paid off for him.
Yeah, it was a free kick, obviously, at the other end. I think it was it an offside or an infringement or something like that. And we were just like thinking, oh, they're just going to pass it around. Then we saw this ball in mid-flat. I'm like, where's that going, kind of thing? And when it was in mid-air and you saw like Kaminski scampering back, you're like thinking, he's actually seen, like it says, off his line kind of thing. And I thought it was going to drop in. And it's funny, isn't it, that we can't take a corner to get over the first man. We can't take a 25-yard free kick on the edge of the box and get it on target. But we've got a centre-half who pings a ball from his own area for a free kick and gets it on target. But yeah, Murillo's got that, hasn't he? He's got a wonderful left foot. I mean, that pass at Palace when Gibbs White went in and tries to lob Sam Johnston in goal. So yeah, he's got a wonderful left foot, and some of his passing has been brilliant. I mean, there's a couple of like weaknesses in Murillo's game in terms of obviously heading, and his ability in the air. But yeah, he's got a wonderful left foot, and yeah, I thought that was going to drop in, and like he says, it would have been one of the goals of like a lifetime kind of thing.
It was quite a nervy game right the way through, and especially in that second half with Forest only having that goal lead. I think it's worth mentioning the Forest actually from open play defended quite well, and you said this as well, didn't you, before we started recording, that Forest did restrict Luton to not a lot of chances.
Yeah, I can't remember Matt Sells having too many saves to make, to be honest. I think most of his saves were routine. It's not like he's peppered the goal. And we did look quite comfortable, even. I know we're still capable of giving away stupid free kicks, but yeah, apart from the goal, which was disallowed, which, like I mentioned, the defending was awful, I thought we defended pretty well. But then, as the game goes on, it's so frustrating, because you knew as soon as Luton scored that equaliser, we're not coming back to win this. Heads are down and everything. I mean, we did have like a half chance, didn't we? But yeah, Forest, they defended really well against Liverpool the other week, didn't they? Mm. And it was only those latter stages where obviously all the controversy of we should have had the ball and all of that, and you got two players trying to like go on a Maradona-esque run to try and get a winner when we would have been more, well, we would have been happy with the point kind of thing, and we got neither, did we? So, but yeah, yesterday we did defend pretty well, but it's just those latter stages where everybody needs to concentrate, and ultimately we can't do it at the moment.
With about 15 minutes of regular time remaining, Nuno makes a couple of changes. He takes Divock Origi off and Callum Hudson-Odoi comes on. I probably would have made that change a bit earlier. I think the game was crying out for somebody like Hudson-Odoi a bit earlier from Forrest's point of view. And then Chris Wood, I think he went down at one point in the second half and looked like he was struggling with a knock. He came off and Felipe came on. So Forrest reverted to a 3-5-2, changed the shape. And shortly after that as well, a third change was made. Morgan Gibbs-White came off and Nicolas Dominguez came on. So on the basis of it, Forrest thrown another centre-half onto the pitch, which suggests that they're going to defend more and try and hold on to what they've got. They also didn't have an outlet up front without Chris Wood there. So they were struggling to hold on to the ball when they did win possession. It started to come back more and it helped Luton, I think, build up a bit of a head of steam. Forrest was sitting deeper. And eventually, 2 minutes to go, Luton win a corner. It swung in, it's nodded down, and Luke Berry is there to sweep it past Matt Sells. I think it's Nico Williams on the line, tries to block it, but he can't get there. And it's a goal, and it's 1-1. But Forrest conceding yet again from a set piece.
Yeah, we know in the recent weeks that Forrest mentally are fragile. They can't defend set pieces in the latter stages. And I just don't know why you would bring on another... We was comfortable. Again, another game where we was comfortable and the changes ultimately upset the rhythm. So he brings Felipe on, and I'm not knocking Felipe as a player. He has been a decent servant for us. But bringing on another centre-half, he basically inviting pressure on. And we know what Luton are like. They know they're going to like put the ball into the box and make it physically tough for us and then get set pieces in and around the box and everything. If Gibbs-White goes off, why don't we bring Gio Reyna on? We've not seen him. By all accounts, people who watch the Bundesliga says he's a really exciting talent. He's hardly played it. I think he's had two substitute appearances since he's joined from Dortmund. And we've got Rodrigo Ribeiro, who, by all accounts, is really promising and probably wants to get onto the pitch and show us what he can do. So why don't we play in the final third of Luton? And because, as they say, attack is the best form of defence. But no, we retreat back, and then the bloody goal, it's like... Toffolo's, I mean, I don't want to be too critical of Toffolo because when he has played, he's never let us down. But he gets involved in a tussle with, I can't remember who it was now. Might have been Mengi or somebody like that. And he's like looking around and like, then he's lost his man. The ball goes in, the ball drops, and there's no Forest player within 5 yards of Luke Berry. And he sweeps it home and Williams can't keep it from going in. And again, it's just like Forrest needs to take responsibility. I mean, in certain aspects yesterday, it was on Nuno in terms of the subs. Why change it? Why don't you play in the final third and everything? But the players have got to take responsibility. And I just think there's, like last year, we had that togetherness and that core. This year, it seems to be very much individuals. And another embarrassing thing was that we was like going up to the referee asking for a foul. And I'm like thinking, what? There's no foul. Okay, there's like a slight coming together, but you're going to get that in the box. And we're running to the referee looking for a reprieve, and we just can't defend set pieces. And like I said earlier in this match report, is that when there's no quality in the club train certain set pieces in terms of delivering everything. Once you haven't got that quality and the defenders can't defend that quality in training, then come to a match day and you're up against somebody who has got quality, you don't know how you deal with it, because obviously we're not facing that in the week in training. So it's just, again, another set piece. And it's just, we're all over the place, aren't we? I mean, I'm not saying I want Cooper back or Cooper's better than Nuno or this, that and the other, but I know the Championship is a different beast compared to the Premier League. But I remember when when Cooper was in and we had played the five at the back with Cook and Kenner and Worrell, and ball comes in, I know the quality might not be as good in the Premier League, in the Championship as the Premier League, but when the ball come in, you knew one of them would make first contact on the ball. And nobody makes first contact now on the ball. Everybody's looking around thinking, well, was he my man? Was he his man? Kind of thing. Nobody was taking responsibility. And it's yet another game where we've chucked away. Well, we've lost 2 points, haven't we? And that would have like kept us our heads above water because of this impending point deduction, which is coming tomorrow. And it's just then at the end of the game, obviously the fans are going to be angry. I mean, we had the game in the bag, another game in the bag again. If we made the right decisions, ultimately we've conceded, and like Nuno like claps the fans and he's like looked over, and you can see that a certain number of fans were angry. And Felipe comes over and Murillo, and they're looking perplexed, thinking, well, what's the problem? We've got a point here. But when you're, 89th minute and you've got 3 points in the bag, and it's only 1 point, it's obviously the fans pay a lot of money to watch this football club, and they're not being rewarded in terms of performance or decision making. And I think we're going to look back, and if we do go down this season, it be a what if season. Or if we kept a clean sheet there, or if we didn't concede that goal, it's just going to be all those questions. And at the end of the day, the players have got themselves to blame as much as the manager, but it's the players who go over that white line, and it's down on them to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Forest did have a final chance before the end of the game, 6th minute of stoppage time, long clearance from Sells. It was nodded down to Ryan Yates. He hit it left-footed first time, but it went just wide of the post, and that was that. Game finished 1-1, and yeah, really, Tom, you've summed it up there. The frustration around this game. Forest were so close to picking up 3 points and moving themselves 6 points clear of the relegation zone. And with the impending points deduction for the breach of profit and sustainability rules, that could have been massive. And certainly we expect Forest to at least drop back into the relegation zone as a result of a points deduction. We are waiting on that this week.
Yeah.
But yes, it could have been a lot healthier.
I mean, if it was like, if we did get an extra 2 points tomorrow, yesterday, and then with this point deduction, it would have like kept our heads above water kind of thing. But it's just, it's so frustrating. I mean, there's been quite a few games this season, and not necessarily against the top side, because obviously they got that quality. But when you've played Burnley at home, get a 1-1, you've played Luton at home, no disrespect to them, but 2-0 up, 2-2. Then obviously, then yesterday, it's so frustrating that. I think there's some players who think they're above this relegation battle. I think they're like, I'm too good for this kind of thing. And some of them are not putting in full 100% performances. I think it's a bit, in some aspects, it's a bit half-assed. And I just think, yeah, it's very much an individuals at the moment, and there's no collective. You can see, like, when goals go in, you see players arguing with other players, and it's just like, you look at it, and there's no captain, like, dishing out orders. It's kind of like thinking, oh, everything be all right on the night kind of thing. And it's not, because, obviously, where our league position is and this impending points deduction, we should be a lot, lot better off with the games we've had in the bag. And ultimately, we haven't got the job done, and we're where we are for a reason. And first and foremost, I think the PSR, that's down on the club. They knew what they could spend, and obviously they've probably spent too much and wasted money. I mean, we spent a lot of money on goalkeepers, haven't we? And what we're down to now, we're like a fourth choice goalkeeper this season, something like that. So, then
there's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot to unpick with it.
There's a hell of a lot
that have happened over the season.
Yeah, and it's not just like I says, when the players, it's like it seems to be very much a bunch of individuals, but collectively as the club, a lot of people have got things wrong. And whether we can presented a decent case to the this independent panel regarding the point deduction remains to be seen, to see what our point deduction is tomorrow. But Forest knew what the levels of where they could spend, and obviously they've gone over it. And then obviously the Brennan Johnson, which if you didn't want to go to Brentford, that's down to the player. At the end of the day, you can't force a player to go to a club. So hopefully they can look into that and thinking, well, I can see what Forest have done here. But yeah, it seems to be very messy in every area of the club at the moment. The stadium, the ownership in terms of this PSR, the players obviously not winning games on Saturday afternoons and all of that. It's just been a really messy season, and I just hope that it's only, what, 3 or 4 points tomorrow. Then we'll get a bit of a reprieve. They've got the 2 back-to-back games against Palace and Fulham. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start winning games, but we've been saying that for the last couple of months, haven't we? And we ultimately, what is it, 1-9 or something like that now?
Yeah, and 1-12 in all competitions.
Yeah, it's not good enough because if you want to do something in this league. And it's on us. We can't keep looking around for, like, I know refereeing decisions haven't gone our way, but we should have, with the games we've had, we should have been home and hosed and ultimately haven't. And losing 21 points from winning positions, I think, is criminal.
The 1865 Match Report.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Forest fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Greene King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's a match on the TV, but this month there's also free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of 6 holidays. And you'll be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. Now it's back to your podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Let's just now hear the opposition view on the game. So it's over to Luton Town fan Ryan McColl.
I was nervous going in with some key injuries, Lockyer, Adebayo, Lokonga, the spine of our team. However, I thought Luton started the brighter, the good Barkley chances from range, one where he just clipped the post. But then we didn't really build from that, and Forrest came into it, looked more assured on the ball, I would say, from what I understood. Then the Burke clearance from Origi off the line, unbelievable. Kaminski well beaten. What a stop. Almost miraculous, as described by the commentator. Then Gibbs White, lovely little cross, no look for picking out Woods. That's his third goal v Luton this season. I thought Gibbs White was your star player today. Absolute class act. Then Tedemengi bundles home, disallowed, probably fair. It was a handball. Then Woods putting a langer in and then through, I thought, must score. Mengi again, lovely clearance. And then just before half time, that audacious chip, I'm not sure who it was, from fully 70 yards, but probably goal of the season contender, that one gone in. Second half, Luton lacked cutting edge. I felt Forest were comfortable. Luton struggled to create much, whereas Forest kind of huffed and puffed, kept going. Nothing really of note before the Luke Berry equaliser. 89th minute, lovely little swivel. And that's a goal now he scored in League 2, 1, Champ and Prem for Luton. Before right at the death, Ryan Yates, deep inhale of breath, he's whiskers away from a winner. Really sweet strike. Another day, that's the winner for you guys. So look, overall, given the injuries and midweek result, a point was okay. The crowd were a bit flat. The team were out on their legs. Forest, overall, unlucky, I would say. But hopefully we both survive. Best wishes for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Ryan. Coming back to this points deduction that we expect Forest to receive on Monday, Tom. And you were saying just before we heard from Ryan that a lot of it is on the club and they knew what the regulations were, they knew what the rules were, and they're going to only have themselves to blame, whatever the punishment is.
Yeah, I think the rules are harsh. Don't get me wrong. How can you be in the Premier League but be handicapped with 2 years being in the Championship? I think as soon as you get to the Premier League, you should buy by Premier League rules. So so basically, you should be allowed to have the permittable losses like everybody else. And then obviously the rules are changing in the summer, aren't they, where clubs can spend 85% over their revenue, which I think is an absolute sham, because all that suggests to me is that your likes of Manchester City, Man United, Arsenal, etc., and Liverpool, they know their revenue streams are a lot stronger than everybody else in the Premier League, so they can go out and get the best talent. And it's like, I just think it's a sad day for the Premier League and football in general when you got teams like Aston Villa, who have had an unbelievable season. Unai Emery's done an absolute fantastic job, but potentially they can't sustain that position where they might be because of financial fair play. I just think it's a sham. Then look at Newcastle. You think with all their, I mean, rightly or wrongly, whatever's people's opinions of the Saudis running Newcastle, is that it'd be nice for another club to break into that top four. And they did it, but they haven't been able to sustain that position because of obviously the financial fair play rules and PSR and all of that, that they can't go out and buy a player for like 80 million quid to keep him there. So they're looking at the fact that they might have to sell players like Joe Linton. And surely football should be, I know it isn't a level playing field, but these new rules now basically suggest that it's always going to be the same cartel winning the trophies, picking the best players, and then everybody else, including Forest, are just going to get the scraps. Then if you have a player and obviously improve him, you know that that player, in some cases Murillo, we kind of know that he won't be in potentially a year, 18 months time, or it might be shorter if we don't stay in the Premier League. You invest that money into him and then he could be going somewhere. Mm. And you've got to then find a player of his calibre on similar money, for similar money or whatever, because obviously you can't pay over the odds because of the rules dictate that you can't. In some ways, I know clubs out there want to play the best of the best. So when we come up to the Premier League, we want to play the Man Cities and Liverpools. But I'm like, as they've been in the Premier League for the last 2 years, I've become cynical and I really, in some ways, wish they just buggered off and with the form this Super League. Because yeah, the corruption and the honestly, I know it's a strong word, but I think the corruption from referees, I think it's basically they don't want to upset the top six, so hence why the clubs like us don't get the decisions. And then obviously the financial changes, which is basically keeping the cartel at the top of the tree, and everybody else has to suffer. And I mean, Clough used to say back in the day, didn't he, football was a working man's game. And obviously it's a business now, when it's been a business for the last, 30, 40 years. But yeah, it's getting to a point where the richer are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer.
Just bringing it back to Forest, with their situation as it is, and looking at this game against Luton, I think they were guilty of sitting back too much and inviting Luton to come on to them. After the international break now, Forest don't play for 2 weeks. Next game is Crystal Palace at home on the 30th of March. Then it's followed up by a home game against Fulham. I think Forest now are in a position where they've just got to go and try and win games better rather than getting in front and sitting back and letting teams come onto them and trying to defend a one-goal lead, because we're not capable of keeping clean sheets. It's evident over the season.
It's been the old adage, hasn't it, all season? I mean, we played Sheffield United early in the season and we scored early on. And for the first, 15, 20 minutes, we were brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You had a Langer, I think, started the game. A one he scored early on. And you think, keep on doing it, you will go and get goals. But no, I mean, I know it's hard to sustain like that pace for 90 minutes. I know it can't be done. At the end of the day, players are only human. And sometimes you've got to like manage when to run, when to not to run. But yeah, there's too many times this season, Forest do the right things and they might get a goal, they might not get a goal. And you can see, and then the crowd's up. Then they just go into the shell and retreat and invite pressure on. Then next minute, they concede a goal, and then ultimately you haven't got enough time to get back into the game or for whatever reason. So, yeah, Forest need to start. I mean, it's a bit bad, isn't it? We're talking back end of March and we're telling them they've got to start doing something. And it's like, well, they've had all season to do this. But again, they've got to keep doing the right things. When they've got like an upward trajectory in the game of actually hitting teams on the break, etc., and doing the right things, they've got to keep doing it more, because, yeah, it's so frustrating that they ultimately don't get what they set out to do, and then they're on the back foot then. So yeah, they've got to start managing games a hell of a lot better when they're in the ascendancy.
This inability to see out games has proven costly, and it could do again. And when you now throw in this expected points deduction, it really does paint potentially a bleak picture for Forest, depending on how many points they are deducted. We will find out on Monday what that points deduction is and what that will mean for Forest for the rest of the season. But we will wrap things up there. We will reflect on the points deduction in our Friday Five later in the week. And we will, of course, be back with you after the Crystal Palace game with our match report on that one. Thank you, Tom. Thank you also to Ryan for providing the opposition view. And thank you for joining us, listener. We will be back with you very soon.
Podcast Network.